Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. Start converting your B2B audience today. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started today at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from I know the way to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's do this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
J.J. McCarthy. The Vikings did that to the Bears.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Because they had a resilient champion of a kid. I couldn't be prouder.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Comedian Frank Caliendo. Coming up, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, Paul Feinbaum. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Frank Caliendo just tore this place apart last hour. If you missed it, don't worry. You can go to our Disney Plus page. As soon as this show is over, click on the tile that is representative of today's show, and boom, you can watch it whenever you want. That was a very Caliendo.
How's he going to do it? Like, boom.
17-0, man.
That's our new drop from there. Very good. Appreciate that. Kurt Warner came in and said, I know more about football than you do.
Yeah, he really
No,
did.
He didn't. I shouldn't say that. But he does.
He does.
I mean, for him to sit here and go, hey, I watched the Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers tape, and neither really blew me away. And then he's like, Caleb had tougher things to do than J.J. McCarthy based on the tape.
Right, whoa.
I mean, he sees stuff you don't, we don't, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Kurt's
mortals.
YouTube channel is just unbelievable.
QB Confidential. Yeah. Anyway, he came on in hour one. He's going to be on every single Wednesday. And if you missed it, there's our podcast version of the show, all 3 hours, wherever you can get your podcast, through our friends with ESPN, distributing our podcast now along with this show every single day. Stream it live on Disney Plus, ESPN app everywhere. And, of course, listen to us on either Sirius XM or terrestrially, the ESPN Radio family of networks, presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN Radio always is. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take Daryl in Virginia's phone call. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, Rich. Good to talk to you. I've been trying to get through for 3 days. That's awesome to be able to.
I apologize if it's taken this long.
No, don't apologize. Okay. You're popular. And first off, sir. I want to say I'm a big fan, and, you know, I was a teenager in the late 90s and early 2000s, so you, Stuart Scott, and of course, I love Chris Berman and Tom Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you all really helped me form my sports opinions and kind of shape the sports fan I am today.
But, oh, good. Who's that in the background, Daryl? Is that a child?
That's my 3-year-old.
Hey.
We're making pizza right now. It's
buddy.
You know, not the edible kind. It's toys.
Fantastic, Daryl. Look at you juggling, pizza making, being a dad, calling into the show.
One of the biggest juggles and struggles of what I deal with is being a Raiders fan. So,
okay, look at you transitioning. Okay, what do you got?
Yeah. So, my question.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Guys,
you
dropped out, which we thought was terrible that you waited 3 days to ask me this question. And go for it. Go for it.
Oh, it's okay. Do you see Jacoby Myers as the number one receiver in Vegas? And, you know, I think he personally is, but, you know, they went and got Amari Cooper back, and course, that didn't work out.
Right.
And, you know, my younger brother keeps telling me he's not. And I'm like, man, I've been, I really think he is. I've seen all the ups and downs throughout the years. And, I see something in him that a lot of other people lack. Even Devontae Adams, after the first year, he has passion. And after he gave that, after he talked to the press after the first game, you could really tell, he cares about his teammates.
Sure.
Why would you not want to give this guy an extension? But, there's a lot of people out there who doesn't think he's number one and that the Raiders should go try to get Tyreek Hill or...
Oh, by the way, how about this? I think Jacoby Myers is excellent and they should get Tyreek Hill. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
How about that? I mean, both can be true. And thanks for the call, Darryl. I'm never going to sit here and say Jacoby Myers isn't a one and he can't be a one. How do I know? Deep down, listen, Jacoby Myers had what? Mac Jones is his guy, and then Mac regressed.
Yep.
Okay? And then he goes to Vegas, and last year was just a revolving door. Mm. And now here he is with Geno. Let's see what he can do with Geno. So far, game one, check that box, man. But if Tyreek Hill's available, and you want to send a jolt through your locker room and go, okay, we got Genty, we've got Myers, we've got Mayer, we've got Bowers, we've got Geno, we've got Tyreek,
Max on the other side, Pete.
Now you're sending a jolt through that locker room saying, we believe it's time.
Am I reading this right?
I mean, yeah, again.
That's pretty fun.
You're also hearing that the Chiefs would be interested in Tyreek Hill again. Because
I said that last year.
Now, in terms of the Chiefs, okay. In terms of the Chiefs, Xavier Worthy, Andy Reid says today, they're not going to short-term IR him like the Niners just did for George Kittle yesterday. They also said they're not going to have surgery. So the alternative is to list him as questionable and see if he can make Sunday against the Eagles and put a harness on him?
Ooh, I don't know, man. Travis surgery ends the season. That's the problem.
Right. Travis Kelce had this to say about what happened in Brazil. When I call the game, I just look down. I'm like, Xavier Worthy fell down. Make a mental note. Always say the words. Not fell down. Always say the words. He's on the ground. And then let's look at the replay as to why he did. Because he didn't fall down. He was crossing paths with Travis Kelce, who took on his podcast with New Heights Pod with his bro. He took, I guess, responsibility for what happened, and it affected the way he was trying to get through that game in the first half on Friday night.
I'm supposed to be running my route at depth for Worthy, so it's frustrating for me. I was trying to kind of set up my guy to be able to get in a position to, and it all just happened pretty quick, and I just got to be better, man. I'm 13 years in the league. There's no excuse for me running into my own guys like that and being able to play fast and help him out. Worthy had his guy beat and we're out the gate and that game starts completely different.
Right.
Instead, I'm not sure where he is exactly in terms of health wise, but, I'm hoping that we get him back as fast as possible because he means so much to this team. And I was his biggest.
Yeah, you've been hyping him up.
Not just fan, man. I can see that guy and how hard he works, and yeah. I can see his game getting better, and I know he's going to take the league by storm when he gets back. The biggest thing is that he's one of our best players.
Right.
He's going to take that step into being one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. And I run into him, and all of a sudden, one of the biggest pieces of the game plan is out of the game.
For sure.
One of the most one of the fastest guys in the league, and speed kills in this league is, now they don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Thankfully enough, we had Traquan Thornton and Hollywood Brown to, be able to step up in those situations. Not that they weren't already in the game plan, but obviously you need to fill those spots.
Guys got
to
step up. Routes. Juju Smith-Schuster had a freaking great game.
I owe my guy big time, man. X knows it. I felt like I could barely even play the rest of that first half, man. But we geared it up once I found out that he was, in better spirits than I imagined.
That's some honest talk there, man.
That also might explain the way Kelce looked in that first half. Again, if he's feeling that emotion about doing that to his teammate.
I wasn't thinking about that. And I feel like I should have been well, you're calling a game. You're in the middle of everything. But, but making this about them, about me, that's some honest talk right there. And it just shows you again about the human element of the game that you can't get out of your head.
Yeah, threw them off for the whole game.
But it's also the point. They had a chance to win that game anyway, which is why I'm not throwing the towel in on the Chiefs to win this division, even though they're in sole possession of last place in the division for the first time in 3 years. They won 12 games, won the division, and hosted the AFC Championship game, lost to Burrow. It's last year they didn't make the Super Bowl. It was the last year that they were not. They were in last place, sole possession. So, listen, I'm not throwing the towel in on them at all. I am concerned about Xavier Worthy's health and what his point is. Again, they were not able to win the game after losing a crucial member of one side of the ball and a crucial part of a game plan three snaps in. And the Eagles lost their crucial guy on one side of the ball zero snaps into the game and came out with the win. Maybe the difference is one's home, one's on the, you know, in a neutral site technically in Brazil. There were more Chiefs fans there than Charger fans, I can tell you that. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But Worthy is not just going to come back in week two and then all of a sudden start running like a deer. I mean, like, this is going to be, is this lingering for the year? And should they at some point in time, you know, look at each other and go, do we get Tyreek back? I mean, if it's that serious, or you just get through the next 5 weeks, go 500 if you can, or 4-2, obviously better than that if you can, and get Rashee Rice back in week seven and go to work. And then all of a sudden things get better and Worthy starts feeling better. Do you short-term IR him once maybe Rice gets back? If he's giving you 5 weeks of,
man,
you know, less than Worthy type snaps? And these are all options for the Chiefs right now, but I'm not going to throw them out of the mix.
Hey, you said Odell was down there in Brazil. Well, I'm surprised they haven't had him in for a workout.
I don't know. I don't know what their plans are. But I know they were talking about wide receiver rooms, best wide receiver room we've had in a long time. Worthy's going to take the top of the defense off. This whole grinding down the field, we're going to have to do that this year. In three plays in, Kelce and Worthy collide, and it totally changes. And they almost won the game. I mean, again, if Chris Jones took a better path to Herbert on 3rd and 14, I do believe they get the ball back, and then we'll see what happens. We're having a different conversation. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Jason in Phoenix, Arizona is waiting to chit chat before.
Hello. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep. What's going on?
I had a question for you guys, a thought I had. And I just came about it yesterday, but I was kind of curious what you thought about possibly Aaron Glenn being like the guy that perhaps may have been the most responsible for the culture in Detroit. Looking back now after this week and seeing that he had the best offensive output, which was surprising to me, especially with the cast of characters that he had to work with, in comparison to what we thought was going to happen with Caleb and what I was definitely hoping would have happened with my Lions. It looked like he had the best offensive performance out of all three of the guys. And then looking back at what he did today, you see how much he's holding guys accountable. So maybe it looks like he might have been, you know, more responsible than I guess he was given credit for, especially by me.
I don't know if you heard in the first hour of the show, another Phoenix resident connecting with the show, and Kurt Warner, when I asked him, was the Lions' performance in Green Bay indicative of the narrative that they're going to miss Ben Johnson? And he said he thought they missed Aaron Glenn more. That was his response. He said that
I caught in late. I did not hear that.
That's what he said.
No, I definitely agree with Kurt then.
I don't know. Jason, did you get your job last second and go on a magic carpet ride as well? Because maybe you and Kurt Warner have more than just that in common. I don't know. Thanks for the call.
It's
Jason.
I wish.
If Jason in Phoenix, there he goes. Let's take this one at a time. The Aaron Glenn holding people accountable. Did you see he caught Xavier Gibson?
Yeah.
Fumbled on a massive fumble on a return that flipped that game. The Jets had it, and they cut him. He is definitely letting people know about accountability when you do that.
Well, and he said it wasn't just one incident.
I'm sure. It's, we say it all the time. There's an iceberg. We only see the tip, and the tip was a pretty big fumble.
Yeah.
That was the end of that. See you later. So he's bringing that to the equation in New York, and we will see how that stamp works. Almost pulled that one off. Again, the defensive guy coming in, the offense looked really good. And now here he is holding that accountability. And I'll tell you, this whole thing with the Lions missing their coordinators, I bet you Dan Campbell is sick and tired of that already. Week one games either salt a narrative or erase them. When you've got 6-7 months to talk about it in our world, and players hear it. I mean, Joe Burrow, before the season, was asked about having to start fast and prove something, to just something to prove. And he basically said, the narrative has shifted around our team. He says that. So players know about narratives. They hear about narratives, and they're either bothered by them or can erase them. And then when they don't erase them, they get bothered by it further and hear about it more. And that's why winning week one is big. Right? Then we have somebody who said yesterday, I think the Jets' loss can actually help them show what they have to improve. A lot of teams have got to improve on a week one performance, but they're 1-0. You'd rather be that way. But I bring this all up to say, of all the weeks for Ben Johnson to stroll into Detroit,
right?
Coming off of that week one performance in Green Bay that salted the narrative, didn't erase it. They could have come in, if they had come up with another win in Lambeau, would have given him 4 in a row of those, I think first time ever, or first time since, you know, the New Deal or whatever. And then it would be, see, we don't miss Ben. Here comes Ben. Let's show him what he left. Now it's like, oh, we miss Ben, we miss Aaron Glenn, because look what we just did in Lambeau Field. And now all the weeks for Ben Johnson to stroll in. Here he comes. And Dan Campbell at his second press conference of the week. He was asked about this, correct, Mike Hoskins? Is that what I'm throwing to right here? He's listening about losing week one and all the noise surrounding it.
After week one, after a new offseason, I'm not sure if you're familiar with all the opinions out there, but they are loud, because they seemingly always are. How much will that fuel your tank? How much will that fuel your message, if at all, this week?
You know what fuels my tank is losing, all right? That fuels me, because I don't like losing. Our players don't like it. And you go back to work, man, and you get back to the basics of what you do, man, and you hit it head on. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. We're all accountable. And if we want to win, we got to do the little things right and prepare that way. And then we got to play that way. So that's what gets me going.
And it's a great answer. You know, let's give the family feud to him, you know. Good answer. Because, you know, this narrative can be very corrosive, because even if you're, because again, he's in the film room motivated by the losing. So are the players. They're on the practice field starting at this point in the week, feeling good about themselves. We just had a great practice. We're feeling good about ourselves. This is it. We're turning the corner. We're turning the page. And then you hear the questions about, hey man, the guy who you miss the most is coming into town with the Bears. Or, hey, man, the guy you miss the most, just cut some player. I mean, the accountability of Aaron Glenn. I mean, you know, miss that. And then maybe it creeps in and you're like, that good practice doesn't matter. So we don't have the guys. That's what they think. I'll show them they're wrong. Well, they got to do that in week 2. And I'm telling you, they got to be sick and tired of this narrative already. Just one week in. You know? Oof. And I understand shows like this one, you know, my position as well, that we think narratives matter. Maybe they don't. Maybe they do.
Maybe not to those guys, but
I don't know. But
what we do.
But doubts can creep, and that's why the coach is just like, you know what matters, Lou? You know what motivates me? You know what really gets me going? Not the narrative. Just losing in general. It doesn't matter who we lose to. Just losing in general. It's not what we do around here. It's not what we've done around here.
And we're going to talk about this next week, but if you're 0-1, being 0-2,
oh boy,
it's, you know, less than 10% chance to make the playoffs. So
certainly, if we're in a division where you're going to start picking it, everyone's going to pick each other off.
Right.
Like that. And then you play the AFC North, too.
Being 0-2 is a huge deal.
Well, I mean, you got to win division games at home. That simple. Lions know it. Bears know it. Bears didn't do it. They'd love to stick it to the Lions and say, you now have a division loss. And as a matter of fact, you don't just have a division loss. We can create a situation where the narrative that you're already hearing gets worse because guess who beat you? Your old guy. Kid's all right in Chicago. He was the one who turned the page from week one. You didn't. You're now 0-1 at home in division just like us. But we're 1-1 in division. You're 0-2 in division. And you lost one on the road where you don't like to lose. And you lost at home. And guess what? Now you're going to Baltimore on a Monday night at 0-2. Oof. Okay. It's a big game. It's a big one for narratives and for standings and for reality. I mean, it's a big game because after a home date with Cleveland comes a two-game roadie at Cincinnati and then at Kansas City. And then you're home for Tampa on a Monday night. And Tampa could have passed you in that HOV diamond lane of the NFC already at that point in time. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll talk college football with Paul Feinbaum when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move. A fellow ESPN radio and ESPN man coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Tapping into your home's equity shouldn't come at a high price. That's why we offer our home equity loan options. We cover 100% of closing costs, which could save you hundreds. And with our fixed equity loans, you can consolidate debt and lower your monthly payments. Plus, we have no application or origination fees. So if you want to get more out of your home base, learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. Membership required. Loans subject to approval. Call 1-888-842-6328 for details about credit costs. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. We're back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. This man knows all about ESPN Radio. When we first connected with Disney Plus and was talking to the folks at ESPN, giving him a list of names of people who I'd love to have on the program that really have not been on before, this guy's name was on the list. The host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, Paul Feinbaum, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Paul.
First of all, Rich, you're number two at Disney that has actually pronounced my name correctly, Tony Kornheiser being the only other one.
I wonder what we all have in common, Paul. I wonder
wow,
what we all have in common to get this correct. I don't know. Could be the follicles. I don't know. Could be being a man in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know. I have no idea. We could go all over the place. But
well, we're still short of a minion, though. Let's keep going.
We are. We're seven shy. It's 10 people non-Jews in the Rich Eisen Show studio.
We're non, but it's okay.
No, you're not. You don't count in that. At any rate. Okay, very good. Paul, good to see you here, sir. I guess the first order of business involves Arch Manning. Obviously, he's a name, but this whole business, if he's hurt or not, and whether there's cameras to shoot people, you know, while they're in the bathroom making faces, Yeah, you're shaking your head. It's kind of an awkward start, would you say, for the season for Arch in Texas?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Terrible. And you know, Rich, if these pundits had not hyped him up so much, wouldn't we all be better off? I say that as the president, chairman, CEO of the Arch Manning fan club. Right. So I took a shot and I missed. What can I say?
No, it's all good.
But what Steve Sarkisian did this week was just so wildly weird and inappropriate. And listen, maybe we're too close to the sun here, but when you turn a simple question into a 2 or 3 or 4 day story, you've made a terrible mistake. And Sarkisian is a really smooth operator. This isn't some yokel clown who can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And the question came up about Arch appears to be in pain when he was throwing the ball Saturday, and Sark just went crazy and turned it on the reporter. I don't know. I mean, how would anyone know what his condition is? Although one thing is for sure, he's not nearly as good as I said he was and a few other people thought he was.
Yeah, and I guess there is he is wincing, and he said after the game when he was asked about it, Arch, that he was just wincing because he missed the throw and he thought it was something that he could get. And I don't know if the injury stuff is what people are looking for to see, that there's got to be something wrong with the kid because he hasn't come out of the box like Peyton times Eli. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know what is afoot here, Paul. You know,
well, number one, he and his coach got completely outmanned in game one against Ohio State. We know that story by now.
Yes.
An elite NFL coordinator just completely shut them down. The second game, he looked better. He still didn't look great. Fortunately for Texas, there's another practice game or two before it gets real. but ultimately it will. And I mean, I still believe in him. And I was talking to Seth Wickersham the other day, and I know you know Seth, and he chronicled Arch's recruiting in his new book. And I said, is he really this good? He said, yes. He said, everybody says that. The knock on Arch is the same as the other Mannings. They all played at a private school in New Orleans, Newman, 1A versus the big boys. But that's not it. I mean, there's too many people have said they have seen him make throws that nobody else can make. I'm waiting, though.
That's right. I hear you. And then I guess, you know, after that loss to the Ohio State, because I try to be respectful here, Paul, that the schedule, when I looked at it for Texas, as you mentioned it, you know, the types of games that they have right here over the next couple of weeks, I looked at Florida. Now that's the one that's going to be the next big test for Arch. And then Florida goes ahead and loses to South Florida. And now we're talking about Billy Napier's gig, right? Like I'm having a trouble trying to assess who's good or really good or national championship worthy outside of Ohio State right now. Paul?
Yeah, that would be a good place to start. But in terms of Florida, they'll be revealed this weekend. They're at Baton Rouge. Not a good place to find yourself after losing to your not even cross state rival. Mm-hmm. Florida this year has Florida State and Miami on the schedule. Miami is next week, and they lose to the weakest of the three. I did the calculation on Florida's 12-game schedule. USF is either the 10th or 11th best team on their schedule. Mm. So if you're doing the math on where Billy Napier will be next year, he probably won't be at Florida.
You think that's the case? What about Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, Paul?
he's got a little more security for this reason. Napier's buyout is only $20 million. DeBoer's is $68 million. And the only one time has college football ever gone this high. They went 76 3 years ago with Jimbo Fisher, but Rich, yeah, that was Texas A&M. That's a good day in the oil fields Alabama doesn't have any oil fields proper. They may have some way out in the Gulf of the Gulf. So they really can't afford to get rid of them. But sometimes coaches can make it easier to get rid of you if they keep losing. And DeBoer is really living week to week right now.
So Landman can scratch the check, is what you're saying. Bubba Grump Shrimp is not going to scratch that check for killing DeBoer.
No,
that's what you're saying.
Shrimping is a good business. I love shrimp, but it does not add up to that hundreds of millions of dollars.
I got to tell you, Paul, watching your show and listening to the callers from Alabama, when the Crimson Tide lose in the manner that they lost a couple weeks ago, what goes through your head when some of these callers pour their hearts out and literally like lie on your Paul Feinbaum show couch? Paul, what goes through your head for that?
Well, I have empathy because I've been there so many times with them. And it used to be, Rich, and you've done this for a long time, mm-hmm. not as long as me, because nobody has done it as long as me.
Nice.
But the point being, it used to be the callers to radio shows were outliers. They were not the mainstream. And people in the industry, they're just a bunch of kooks. You know, the guy out in Long Island, the guy in Westwood. But what I hear now after an Alabama loss is reality. I mean, these people are representative. And we have a couple who become very well known, and they think a lot about their calls, and they're epic. I try to side with them because to me, they are the people that matter the most, not those who sit in ivory towers.
Paul Feinbaum here on the Rich Eisen Show. What was your assessment of the Michigan-Oklahoma game from a couple nights ago, Paul?
Yeah, starters, it was a huge win for Brent Venables, who was living on that hot seat. And he had to have that win. And listen, I don't need to tell you, beating Michigan matters, especially in the Southeastern Conference, which where it's been now 3 years without a national title. That's forever in the world that I live in. I was pretty underwhelmed by Michigan, though. I think Sherrone Moore continues to stub his toe. I couldn't quite get a handle on Bryce Underwood. I think he's going to be great. I'm not willing to go as far with him as I did with Arch Manning because I don't have any mulligans left in my bag. But I'm really interested, and I'll lean on you, sure, being a Michigan man, to tell me what you saw, because I came away underwhelmed.
Well, what I saw over the first two starts for him, what I've seen is an arm that I've never seen attached to a Michigan quarterback. I've never seen anything like Bryce Underwood's cannon in my entire 30 years of rooting for Michigan football and watching it. I've never seen anything like it. But I also saw too many shades of last year's offensive struggles against Oklahoma. And I'm going back and forth between, does Michigan just not have the skilled position horses? Didn't help that they didn't have their top tight end out there. And as you know, that's the best friend of a young quarterback. I was wondering if the offensive line isn't up to snuff, or is it all that going against, as you mentioned, a Venables coach defense with some really good players? And then, of course, Oklahoma is fielding a far more veteran quarterback who's associated with a system already, with all the guys that came with the quarterback to Oklahoma. I just wondered if that's just the way it is, and we'll see how it is moving forward. Or is this just not for real? I can't believe that. I think Underwood is really good, and they should. Well, I feel like a caller into your show right now. I should start flipping out? In all seriousness, though, they need to move Underwood out of the pocket. Kid throws off the run in a way that I've never seen a Michigan quarterback do it. So maybe it was the play calling too. I don't know. Or you tip the cap to Oklahoma. How does that sound, Paul, as a response?
Yeah, one thing about Oklahoma, I mean, Venables was the architect of those Clemson national championship defenses. And Mateer, the quarterback, not only did he come over as the best quarterback in the portal, he brought his QB coach and his offensive coordinator. That really matters a lot. But I think Oklahoma's possibly, you know, on the fringe of a playoff. Their schedule is probably too tough to get in, though.
Well, I'm sure LSU would love to perform better against Oklahoma than Bryce Underwood did, since we know the connection between Underwood and LSU that no longer exists. And so LSU's got a big game this weekend as well. give me the teams that you've seen so far that you can assess are national championship worthy right now, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously starts with Ohio State. I think LSU is on that. I'm on ledge. Now, you have to help me on Penn State, because when you play,
yes.
When you beat up on the top three teams in the Catholic youth organizations, wow. Philadelphia, I mean, how do you get away with playing a schedule like that? It's downright embarrassing. While Michigan is out there playing Texas last year and at Oklahoma, and Ohio State's playing Texas this year, and LSU is going to Clemson, and you're playing Villanova. You're playing Nevada and Florida.
Are you saying Drexel's on the schedule? Is that where you're going? You're the Big Five. You're going to go the full Big Five, Army. Okay.
You know, Saturday's game's at the Palestra.
Shout out to Philly.
Yeah, I guess, right. And that's rubber meets the road there, right? When Penn State plays Ohio State, that's it, because Penn State doesn't play Michigan if you just want to talk Big Ten alone. But that's rubber meets the road there, Ohio State. And you put – so who from the SEC do you throw in this mix?
Yeah, I'd start with LSU. And I still think Texas is going to get to the playoffs. And then Georgia. Georgia's very overlooked right now. They're at Tennessee this weekend. So the winner of that game is going to emerge very, very brightly. And then you just kind of start swimming your way through. Who is it? Is it South Carolina with Lenora Sellers, who is unbelievably talented, Rich, as a quarterback? I think there's five or six in the mix. Alabama, to me, is not in that mix right now. I don't think you can lose a game like they lost and be taken overly seriously. But the people like to write the SEC off, and I get it. I'm fine with it. And I know my credibility promoting the SEC is – It's kind of like one of these Washington Huskers promoting their party. But that's okay. I still think the SEC is very deep. And I'll offer this as an example. Mississippi State is a school picked to finish last in the SEC, and they beat Arizona State Saturday, which was a playoff team last year. So I don't know what that really means, but it means that it's very early. Not that I'm telling the audience anything they don't know. We're in the third week of the season.
I know. We still got to talk about it, right? And then there is still enough that you to form an opinion on or off of. In the few minutes I have left with you, Paul Feinbaum, your assessment of the first two games of Bill Belichick's collegiate coaching career is what?
Fairly laughable. I want to be a fan of Bill Belichick, but he makes it impossible. The first game was just an absolute and total disaster on the biggest stage that he probably, not probably, will ever have at North Carolina. The second game meant nothing. I mean, they're playing at Charlotte. I mean, not exactly the bastion of college football. I think he'll struggle. I think his comments this week make it even more difficult. I mean, why do you have to continue to be Bill Belichick? I guess maybe because you're 73 years old. But to say what he did about locking the Patriots out, it's just downright stupid. And by the way, we both saw the first game against TCU. Did you see a single prospect on his team that anybody would want to come visit? I didn't. But in deference to your players, you can't say that. You want to open the doors. But Bill Belichick's always been a petty, small-minded man. But when you win six Super Bowls and you're an assistant on two other ones, you can get away with that.
Paul Feinbaum here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess what's your opinion of the NCAA's idea of having a transfer portal window open in January? Ryan Day, I don't blame him for pushing back on this. He's just like, hey, for those who play in January, really? Is that really? Like, not everyone gets to play in January, but that is Ryan Day and Ohio State's goal. And more often than not, they're going to play in January, right? Or play for a national championship deep into January. And the NCAA is like, well, for most everyone, they'll have the time to figure this out in January for a transfer portal window. What's your opinion of it, Paul?
Last year, Rich, the schedule was so screwed up. You had the backup quarterback at Penn State announce he was leaving while Penn State was getting ready for a playoff game. That's where we are. And it completely affects every aspect from the portal to coaching changes. Somebody asked me the other day, hey, what about this guy for that job? I'm like going, not hireable if he's in the playoffs, and the playoffs don't end till January 21st.
Yeah, I mean, these days everything seems to last longer now, and I guess that's for another question down the road is when the college football world turns into a super league or not, and figure out who's in that boat and who isn't, but that's obviously for down the road. Paul, I appreciate you taking the time here and a maiden voyage here on our first couple weeks here on Disney Plus and ESPN and ESPN Radio. I appreciate it, sir.
Rich, the pleasure was mine. Thank you so much.
Let's do this again, Paul. ESPN Radio's and ESPN's Paul Finebaum of the Paul Finebaum Show right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fantastic. And to bring it all full circle, let's take a break. And in the commercial, let's all huddle up on what me, Paul, and Tony Kornheiser also still have in common. I guess that'll be the 5 good minutes we spend together. Coming up next.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay. We've got another fun show tomorrow. Kyle McLaughlin's in studio tomorrow. He's going to go Twin Peaks. He's doing all that stuff with him, man. He was in Showgirls, Mike Del Tufo's favorite movie of all time.
Actually worked with him on a movie.
What movie was that, Mike?
Trigger Effect.
Wait, what? Hold on. What?
A movie called Trigger Effect.
Hold on.
I did a couple days back in the old days.
Okay, very good. So are you here tomorrow?
I am actually not here tomorrow because I'm doing my last MLB baseball game of the year.
Okay. Which game is it? Which game is it?
Cleveland, I think, against...
Okay. He's locked in. You're locked in. It's
Mike, great. Elizabeth Shue in that movie.
Yes. All right, very good. Very crazy movie.
Kyle was on the From Monaco to El Segundo trip.
Okay.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. Okay.
Shocking. TJ. So I mean, this is great.
I have a picture of me sitting across from him at dinner. I just found on my phone this morning.
Send it to Hoskins. We'll pop it on the air tomorrow.
Monaco to El Segundo.
TJ knows everybody.
How you know everybody.
He wouldn't remember. This was like 2017. He ain't going. Don't remember,
guys.
I'll never forget,
guys. I've got a new favorite head coach in the National Football League.
Oh yeah,
Schottenheimer?
No. His name's Liam Cohen.
Oh, L-I-M.
He hears me.
Ball.
We get each other, man. We get each other. I get him. He gets me. I don't think he's Jewish. I am. Listen.
Are you sure about that?
I think so.
I mean, not you. Him.
I think so. Oh. Listen. Be that as it may. We have the same idea about Travis Hunter. Let's play him. Let's play him on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Rich, you want him out there 100 a game, though.
I'm eventually, yes, I do. I'm not, no denial on that.
He needs a little water break.
So do me a favor. Look up his snap total. He didn't play. He played mostly on offense, right?
Yeah, I looked
cup
it up
of
the
coffee
other day.
On defense.
It was less than 60. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We are ramping.
We're ramping.
The coach confirmed it.
Ramping.
You know, obviously, it'll be a likely uptick. It's more so... you know, going into week one, it was, okay, we know that it's not going to be a ton on defense. The goal is to increase and continue to increase. It just so happens that we're playing Cincinnati with 2 good wideouts this week.
Okay.
Oh, he played 48 snaps.
There you go.
42 offense, 6 on defense.
Okay, very good. Let's see, 60 in Cincinnati. 60 in Cincinnati. How about that? He said we're playing 2 great wideouts. That's right.
Yeah. He also led the team in targets.
By the way, here's a new fantasy team name.
Don't love that.
Here's a new fantasy team name. Fantasy team name. When he says there's 2 great wide receivers, is that Yossi Voss bulletin board material?
See, this is why I can't write that down.
Why? Too long?
You purposely did it for it to be a fantasy name.
I literally was about to say it, and I'm like, that sounds like I'm now serving like write
That's
it
what
down.
I mean. You Yosef should just say it, and then we'll write it down.
Also,
you
know he can't spell Yoshivas.
Fuel for the Yoshivas fire?
Yeah, it's the reverse of all due respect.
Got it. Huh. Listen.
You can't spell
Liam
that name anyway.
Cohen
no, definitely
knows what is needed, and it is Travis Hunter getting an uptick in snaps on defense and on offense. I'm sorry you want Brian Thomas Jr. getting more targets. He will. We know he will. We know he's gonna. But what we need to see is that unicorn out there more and more and more in a unicorn way because he can. I don't want to hear it. He's a grown-ass man. This is problem. This is not this. It's not Rex Ryan or Fred Flintstone saying, hey, here's one side of the ball. It's tough to get a shutdown corner. I don't want to see wide receiver stuff. Guess what, Fred?
Yeah, but
there's a twist in this bedrock, and it's a unicorn, and let's get him out there. I want to see more snaps. And Liam Cohen, I think he sees me. From Duval County all the way out here in Los Angeles County. We see each other. We're connected on this front. That's it, Coach. I knew I liked you. He had a great interview with us. He got me. I got him. He got me. I said, what about offensive and defensive rookies of the year in the same guy? And he says, why not? And I say, I like the cut of your jib, sir. There's a lot of boats in that place, and I like the cut of your jib. Oh. And golf carts.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.